Thank you very much so much. First, apologies. I did not realize that the blue card meant stop, so that wasn't mentioned. Secondly, just to clarify some facts, some of my colleagues spoke of the number of refugees in Jordan as 600,000. What I want to clarify is that we have exactly 1,359,811 Syrians in Jordan, only 654,481 have chosen to register with UNHCR, but the number is 1.3 million plus. Secondly, is that only 10% of refugees live in refugee camps. 90% are spread all over the country. And that is why, and we did not force them to register because, again, our policy from the day in has been that we looked at them as victims and we want to make sure that we provide them with a dignified life. And we have not and will not force anybody to go. Since we reopened our borders with Syria last year, only 38,000 have chosen to go back out of 1.3 million. That is statistically almost insignificant. And voluntarily retained is something to which we're committed. And even in the conference that my dear brother, Minister Mivlet, spoke of that we are working on, I think in our first meeting that we had, we agreed that whatever concept paper we have to address refugees has to be consistent with international law, with UN organizations. And that's why our experts, when they started talking, they brought in UN organizations to make sure that we do commit to the principle of safe, voluntarily, and dignified return. And for a country like Jordan, 378 kilometers of border with Syria, demographic links, families intermingled. When people go back, we want them to go back to a stable country, because if they go back and they're not stable and they're not safe, also from a Jordanian perspective, we will not have done anything. Instability will remain. So stability of Syria for us is a national security requirement, and the safe, dignified life of its people is also a national interest of Jordan as well, and that's what we'll continue to do. The issue that Roba spoke of is that we have to think of displaced persons in Syria as well. That is a fact too. Again, I go back to my point, is that the war and the crisis, should be about people and who's suffering from it. The narrative around the world is that reconstruction should be linked to a credible political process. Let's put that aside for a second because the politics is outside the scope of our session here. But what we put forward for years now is stabilization. And i.e. that means that we all come together to invest in stabilizing communities within Syria. Because the fact of the matter is that if you have 1,000 kids, I don't care under which authority they live. If they grow up without schools, if they don't have hospitals, then you're talking about 1,000 vulnerable youth a few years down the line. But if we build them schools, then we've mitigated against them being exploited or preyed on. Or despair is, again, a major concern with which we need to address ourselves. And providing stabilization is a key to mitigate against despair and is a key against creating conditions that would be conducive for radicals and spoilers to prey on. So stabilization versus reconstruction is something that I think we should all think about in a serious, effective manner, because there are people in Syria who are suffering. And we know from the situation in Dara'a, which is on our border and where most of our refugees come, almost a year and a half into the situation where the government has gone back, people are still deprived of their basic needs. There are no hospitals, there are no schools, there are no jobs. So if we do not address that, then I think the scenario that first created the problem will emerge again. And the issue of return is a key issue. Look, the decision is going to come down to a family sitting around a meal in the evening and discussing whether to go back or not. I think they'll be asking themselves, will we be able to feed our kids? Will they have schools? Will we be safe? Will the father or the mother have a job? Will we be persecuted or not? And if the answer to any of those questions is no, they're not going to go back. And going back is just not a function of the fighting stopping. It's also a function of finding a house to go back to. Refugee life is difficult wherever you are. But I think if you are a refugee in a stable country, at least you live in dignity, at least you know when you leave the home you're coming back. So nobody's going to risk that for their families for going back to an uncertain situation where they don't know how things are going to evolve. Ultimately, again, what we need to remember is that this is about human beings, about mothers, about kids, about daughters. The answer to the problem, ultimate answer, is a political solution to the crisis that would allow people to go back. But until then, we cannot abandon refugees. If we do, we will all pay the price. We have to share this burden. As neighboring countries, we're doing what we can. International community, we're grateful for the support that they've done, but we need to stay resilient, and I need to once again warn against donor fatigue, because if we do not address the problem now, it will multiply in both volume and scale, and we'll have to address it in the future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.